Spend some time this summer on, it goes along with their theme, knowing and understanding the will of the Lord. And this is kind of an introductory message. I know last week we talked about understanding what God's will is. We talked about how sometimes people do things in the name of God and they're passionate about it, but they get it dead wrong. And we looked at the disciples talking about burning fire from heaven to take out that Samaritan village. And they says, you don't know of what spirit you are. Even last week when we looked about the children coming unto Jesus and disciples said no, Jesus was much displeased. And so the thought process behind that is we're going to take certain topics throughout the summer, probably not every single week, but certain topics throughout the summer and look at, okay, what does God say about this particular topic? Why is that important? Because we really need to know and understand what the will of the Lord is. And it even says here in Ephesians chapter number 5, it says in verse, and these are the main verses we're going to look at today, in verse 15, 16, and 17. And it's how we introduced last week's message. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Whereby, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And that's such a key that comes in our lives. What is it that God desires for me to do? What is God's opinion when it comes to certain things? Because there are people out there that do things, like we learned last week about the disciples, that they got it wrong. It's not what Jesus wanted. And we also looked at that idea with the Samaritans. They says, hey, that village doesn't even deserve to be alive anymore. Let's just burn them up. They got it wrong. They didn't understand what spirit they were of. One of the ways that we know and understand this is that we prove what is right. Look what it says in verse number 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So often we look for ways to be acceptable unto us. So many times we learn ways to be acceptable to our family or something that's acceptable to our mate or something that's acceptable to our children. But the key is that we would learn to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse number 8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. There was a time in the day that we were in bondage of sin and we walked like we were sinners. We walked like we were in bondage. We walked like we had no other choice. But now the Bible says that we are light of the Lord. And we can walk as children of light. We should prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. In verse number 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Saying, by the way we live, it shows a stark reality or difference of the difference between light and darkness. For whatsoever doth make manifest is life. And then it says in verse 14, there's this encouragement. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And this is what the challenge is for us this summer, is to look at topics that Christians sometimes wonder, is this right, or this wrong? What is the way? What is the point? So we can understand what the will of the Lord is. And hopefully there's some things that the Lord can help us with and speak to our hearts about. Let's look at these verses for just a few minutes. See then that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly means that it's right and straight. It also gives the idea of being careful when you walk. I know that there are some times at certain places you're really careful when you go walking. Anytime if we've seen a house snake around our house, which hasn't been for a while, my wife is going to walk out there and she's going to be circumspect. She's going to make sure she's walking. Even if the snake is, if we've killed the snake and there could be a even just a little hint there might be a snake somewhere around, she is looking to see to make sure she doesn't walk anywhere near a snake. And we all have those different things that we'd be careful with. When it's dark out there, when you're walking, you're walking very, very carefully. And that's what the scripture is saying. We need to understand what the will of the Lord is. This is something that we should be careful about. We should walk circumspectly. And then it says, not as fools. When you do not take the time to be careful with your Christian walk and be careful with how you're walking in the day and time that we live in, because we're children of light, we manifest as children of light to the darkness, we are being foolish when we do not consider what God's will is. We are being unwise when we choose to have our own thinking instead of scriptural thinking. And once again, our hearts can be deceitful. They're desperately wicked. And we need the Word of God. We need God to teach us and show us. As it said at the end of verse number 14, Christ shall give thee light. And anyone who is willing to try to understand what the will of the Lord is concerning a certain topic, and they look into the Word of God, and they seek out the Word of God, and they go back to the beginning. What's the basics? Hey, we've been created by God. God has a purpose for us. God has a plan for us. What is that? He wants us to bring glory to Him in His life, in our lives. His desire is that whatsoever we do, whatever we do, whether it's eating or drinking, thinking, whatever it is, that we would do all to the glory of God. So if that is our first premise, and we say, okay, God created us, He should tell us what we should and should not do. He is the one that knows best. He's the one that knows what's right. And if my life as a believer, as a Christian, I'm supposed to bring glory to God, then what's that next step? Okay, if I'm supposed to bring glory to God, how do I bring glory to God? I need to know what He wants. I need to know what His will is, what He desires when it comes to how often I should come to church, or what I should do with His Word, or how much I should pray, or what I should do when it comes to witnessing, because we have allowed our generation to change our mind and change our thinking into believing certain things are okay because we've lost the premise, I want to bring glory to God with my life. This is my life, and this is what I want to do. And how can I bring glory to God? I need to know what He wants me to do first. I need to understand. So the Bible says we're going to be careful about that. We're not going to just go out and do whatever we please and let somebody else just correct us and tell us that we're wrong. And sometimes we need that. Instead, we're going to look into scriptures, and we're going to look in the Word, and we're going to be considering. And you see that words that goes up there in verse number 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. It's taking the time to look and discern and see what the Scripture says. Maybe even get godly counsel. And I know sometimes people say, and I've heard it before, I know this is how you feel. I know this is what the Bible says. And then they put that word, but. If it's what the Bible says, that's what we believe is God's will. We believe it's what's best, and we need to go and we need to prove it. We need to see what the Scripture says when it comes to being faithful. We need to see what the Scripture says when it talks about a husband loving his wife and a wife submitting unto a husband. We need to see what the Bible says when it says, children, obey your parents. There's so many different topics that are questioned today, and even some things that are specifically found in the Scriptures, and people are questioning it, and they're not taking time to prove what is right and what is wrong. Proving what is, it's what the Bible says. So how do you do that? You first say, okay, I want to bring glory to God with my life. I know it says that in there. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I know it says it in there. So how do I do that? And the first description is you start walking circumspectly. You start being careful. Okay, maybe I need to examine some things in my life. Maybe that thing I watch on TV or that thing I listen to or those things that I'm involved at, the friends or the way I talk or the way I act, the way that I treat, all those things. Maybe I need to prove those and make sure they're scriptural and they're right. I need to ask God to search me. And I need, as He brings things up in my heart and my life, I need to wake out of the sleeping that's talked about in verse 14. I need to wake up out of that and say, you know what? I need Christ to give me the light because I have been just walking and walking and walking and never truly asking, Lord, are you pleased with what I'm doing? Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So sometimes people look at a topic or a series like this and say, well, you're a preacher. You're just making a big deal out of little things. What's the big deal? He is saying here, you're foolish if you do not be careful with the things that you do. If you're not careful in your walk, if you're not making sure that your walk is exact and that it's right, and you allow things into your heart, you allow things into your life, you allow questionable things to happen, it's saying that you're being foolish. Now, I know what the world's going to tell you. Hey, you're under grace. Go do what you want. God's going to forgive you anyway. They don't talk about, like we talked about this morning, considering thy heart, about how the Father chastens the Son, so does God chasten us, and God knows all our hearts and knows all about us. So encouragement is, as we look at certain topics, is not even as much to listen to the preacher or the pastor. It is to look into the scriptures, and the pastor, as he gives these scriptures, that you seek the light that God can offer and only God can offer, and say, I do not want to be foolish in believing that the way I walk does not matter. Because there's people in this world today that says, it does not matter how I act or what I do, and they forget all about this thought. God wants you to bring glory to him. Our life is a life that he's given us to prove those things that are acceptable. He wants us not to be someone who's walking in darkness. We have gone from darkness into light, and we no longer want to act like we're in darkness anymore. We need to act like we're in light. And I know what you're thinking, Pastor. You're talking so much about the outward things. No, it's not just the outward. It's the inward that he's interested in. Because if you're right inwardly, you're going to be right outwardly. And yes, sometimes we have to learn, and sometimes there's things we got to prove, and there's some things that we grow into and we understand. And how do you learn these things? Is when you're circumspect. You're careful as you're going through. You're watching out for the next pitfall. You're watching out for the next danger. You're carefully leaning and depending upon the God and letting him lead and guide you, instead of just walking and saying, I know there's something dangerous out there. I'm just going to go after it. I'm just going to keep on living. You be careful. Be careful with the things. The next thing is redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We were back there in the Widow Ladies class today. It was an interesting class. I always have, we have times of discussions, and someone asked me a question this morning about the length of years before the flood and after the flood. Was it because of the sin nature and different things like that? And we talked about that, how there is not that many years anymore. Back before the flood, there was, and I have my opinions, and I offer those opinions to the ladies. I says, I'm not 100% sure. It's been a little while since I looked those things up and studied that. But back then, some of those people had 800, 900 years. Could you imagine that? And I thought about it, and we talked about it for a little while. Man, midlife crisis would last for a long time. Instead of being 5 years, you're looking at 50 years. And the days of your youth, instead of being just teen years and young adults, you're looking at a couple hundred years that you have that. And you know, as you're older, and as it seems like, at least that's the way I would think, is that as you got older, those golden years, those senior years, that I don't know why they call them golden. From right here, they hurt. They're not fun. It's, you know, you always say, you know, it's getting old isn't for sissies or whatever. You know, they would have been a few hundred years. Back then, they had some more time. And you know, I had mentioned to them, there's an interesting thought there, that if you're doing wrong as you're younger, you don't get it right, you get to have hundreds of years just how to get better at being wrong and being bad. And that's where you get maybe the Tower of Babel, or how things got so wicked and so sinful that God wanted to punish the earth with a flood. So what are you getting at? It says redeeming the time. No one in this room is going to live in this physical body for 900 years anymore. We don't even know how much longer we have here in this world. That's the craziness that's happening. And as we see that the day is approaching, that the time is not much more. So what do you do with redeeming the time? You buy it back. You make good use of it. And I began thinking, considering, how do we redeem that time? And there's, I'm not preaching on hobbies or just, you know, once again, you can enjoy some time there, but there's a lot of time that's wasted today. The truth and the reality is, whether it's, and I watch a little television, and I do some things. I even play a video game. My sons and my family, we have one video game that we play together. We don't do it very often, but we have a good time doing that. And I think recreational things, there's nothing wrong with it. But at the same time, there's a lot of time that has been wasted in our lives that we could redeem the time by maybe reading his word more, by praying, by doing things that are going to count for eternity. You have been giving a certain number of minutes each day, a certain number of seconds each day. What is it, over 1,400 minutes? How many of those minutes did you thank the Lord for how good he is? And so redeeming the time, saying, okay, I have this much time. What am I going to do to redeem? What am I going to do to buy back that time? What am I going to do to make that time worthwhile? Because that's what the scripture is saying. Prove what is important. Prove what is right. Walk circumspectly and make sure you make good use of your time, because the days are evil. They are getting worse and worse, and we need people who are going to stand up and do what's right and make good use of their time. And I know that many times we have 24 hours in a day, but how often do we spend time in the Bible? We live busy lives, and don't get me wrong, I understand that many of you work 8, 10, 12 hours. Some of you spend family time, which is commendable, which should be done. We preach about that. We want to spend time with our husbands, our wives. We want to spend time with our children. We want to spend time in fellowship with friends. We want to spend time with all those things, but we leave out the most important sometimes. We need to learn to redeem the time. So if we're going to truly understand what the will of the Lord is, we need to make sure we're walking carefully and circumspectly. We don't want to be unwise. We want to redeem the time, because this day and time that we live in needs it, needs believers, needs who's going to stand upright, needs who's not going to be blown around with every wind and doctrine and asking all types of things, not seeking the will of God, but seeking how to get our will done and justifying it in our own heart. And that's what happens so often when it comes to issues. Are we really saying, okay, what does the Word of God says? I know in my own heart, there are certain things I want the Bible to say. And you can try to read into it and try to pull it out and say, well, this is what it means and this is what it says and all this. No. What is the will of the Lord? Just because you heard one preacher 50 years ago say that this is wrong and you hold on to that, if it's not in the Scripture, it's not in the Scripture. Doesn't matter how many times the preacher says it. If it's in the Scriptures, in the Bible, that means it's the will of the Lord. But if it's not, then it's not. We need to redeem the time. It's not even as much as we love our parents and we love our grandparents and they told us certain things and they taught us certain things. But what if somebody else's grandparents taught them something different? What is the will of the Lord? What is what God decides? Redeem the time. Make use of the time you have. I know some are younger today and they're thinking, I got my whole life ahead of me. Redeem the time. The days are evil. Some are older and they think, well, I've lived a long life. I can just cruise out. Redeem the time. The days are evil. We need to make sure. We need to stand in the gap. And the third thing, he says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding. It's having a desire to discern what the will of the Lord is. And how do you do that? You do that by learning what his word says. So when we look at topics, I want you to see these things and understand it, that we're seeking some understanding. I like to ask questions. Sometimes it drives people that I, in my family or people I work with, I like to make sure because I want to understand what's being said. I'll ask my wife a question sometimes. You'll say, didn't you hear what I said? She'll do it nice, but if I ask her something two or three times because I want to make sure I get it, because I want to get it right, because I want to please her. I don't want to do something wrong, because if I do something wrong, I have to go back and fix it later. So I'll ask the question. I says, okay, you said this. Now, can you say it one more time? Why is that? Because I get old and I can't hear, or maybe I wasn't paying attention, or whatever it is. I want to make sure I get it right. And okay, what is it? And she'll say it again. And then if I have a question, even if it's a simple question, it will be like, really? And I'm like, yes, because I want to get it right. I get it wrong anyway, don't I, sometimes? Yep. So it doesn't matter how many times she says it, I get it wrong sometimes. But it's the idea of discerning. It's proving. It's really looking. And it's not just her. I do it with my son sometimes. I do it with other people. I try to overcompensate because I want to understand why somebody's doing something, because I want to accomplish it the right way. And when it comes to proving and discerning what the Word of God is and understanding what the will of the Lord is, you just can't sit there, because we get ourselves in so much trouble and says, I thought that's what you wanted and that's what I did. And I have people tell me that before. And they come up and say, well, I did this and this is the reason why. And I'm just like, why'd you do that? He says, because that's what I thought you wanted. That's not what I wanted at all. Why would you think I would want that? Why would you desire that? Why would you even think that? I don't think that way. I've never said that. I never acted like that. And it's a challenge sometimes, because you have people who are ministering and we want to do things the way the Lord does. And as a pastor, as an overseer, and as a leader of the church, you want a right representation of the church. And sometimes people will come up to me and say, Pastor, you'd be proud of me. And they start talking about what they did and how maybe they were correcting somebody, but they did it in the wrong way, or rebuking somebody and different things like that. And I'm like, is that the way the Lord would want? He says, that's the way you would want? I says, no. We need to try to get to this understanding, is not just to know what the will of the Lord is, because I think most of us would say, I know what the will of the Lord is, but understand why he desires that. Understand why he wants us to forgive. Understand why he desires for us to speak the way we should, or act the way that we should, or look at the things that we should look at. And we went through Psalms 119 on Wednesday nights, and it was a long period of time we went through that, and he kept on saying, give me understanding, give me understanding, give me understanding, because it wasn't just enough to be able to say, this is what I need to do. It's understanding what the will of the Lord is so I can explain it to someone else. And sometimes we just got to get to this spot and say, it's just the way God said. We just obey it, and we believe God knows what best, and someday when we get to heaven, we'll understand it all. But there's many times, if you study in the Scripture, some of these important topics that say, here is what the will of the Lord is. So being Father's Day, let's look at this for a few minutes about parenting, some of the verses that the Bible gives about parenting. And now that's a topic out there, isn't it? But some people have a certain idea when it comes to parenting, that is the super strict ones. And then you got some parents over here that are the super relaxed ones. I don't know what the right verbiage is for that, but the ones that don't take care of their kids or don't keep an eye on their kids. And you sit there and you see the two different things and you're wondering, well, that person must be right. And lots of times in that super strict ones, there's something missing called love. And then and over here with the super relaxed ones, there's something missing called discipline and correction and chastening, which the Bible talks about. So what is God's will concerning it? Now, if you go out there and you read books, everybody's got an opinion. If you talk to your parents, they have an opinion. Well, first thing you need to ask, how did I turn out? Because if you turned out as a mess, did your parents really know how to parent very well? Oh, no. Obviously, it's what you for yourself. And you learn, and your parents learn from the mistakes maybe they made with you. I've made a ton of mistakes with raising my sons, and I'm thankful for I can learn and grow. And it takes me to the Word of God, like we talked about this morning, that importunity. I have nothing to offer them. I need to make sure I'm as right with the Lord as I can be, so I'm not giving them Brian Pease. I'm trying to give them what God wants for their life and what God desires for their life. So when it comes to parenting, what is right and what is wrong? And everybody has opinions. We had things that worked in our house that would not work probably in every house. And we had things that did not work in our house that may work in yours. We had the privilege of homeschooling our kids from sixth grade all the way up to when they graduated from high school. And it was a great opportunity, a great privilege. It worked for us. We believe we led of the Lord to do it. Each step of the way, the Lord answered that. And the Lord, the kids, they did well in school. And they seem to be doing okay in college. We have some hope for Andrew, but who knows how he's going to finish up. But all those things that are there, it worked for us. And we believe the importance of teaching our children at home the Bible and the Word of God, that's scriptural. But I've looked at certain families, and I've seen certain families and certain parents, and not everybody should be a homeschooler. They don't have the opportunity to teach. The parents don't feel comfortable with it, whatever. And I'm thankful for Christian education. And I'm thankful for all the different education that's out there that's seeking the Lord and doing what's right. But what is the Word of God when it comes to parenting? So here's some verses. We're not going to spend a lot of time with this because we did the introductory part. And I hope you understand we need to be careful when it comes to our parenting. We need to make sure that we are making the most use of our time when it comes to our parenting. And we need to be seeking what the Lord, will of the Lord is. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. I think one of the things with parenting is the fact that we need to train. We need to take the time to train the young people. I know there's not a lot of people that have young kids at home that are here tonight, and I know we have some in our church, and thankful for all that they're there, but one of the things that the will of the Lord is that we should train them. It's not just something here's this, figure out how to do it. Sometimes we have to do that when we're trying to teach them skills of how to answer equations and how to make things work. But the Bible's idea of training is you show them something and you teach them what's expected. And when they do wrong, you teach them how to do what's right. Instead of just saying, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, get it right, you train them on how to do the things right. You give them examples and you show them and you teach them from the Word of God, this is the reason why we do this, and this is the reason why we do this, and here is a training process. Chapter 6 here in verse number 4, the next one, it says, And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I know this is given specifically to fathers, but I think you can make application also to the mothers, and the idea that we are not supposed to try to make our kids angry on purpose. We're not supposed to take our children and try to provoke them to wrath. You say, well, who in the world does that? Go look on the internet. You'll have tons and tons of people that says, my parents, when I was a child, just did things to just try to provoke me and provoke me and provoke me. And I don't think we would do that, or at least not do that on purpose, but the scriptures thought it well enough to say, make sure you do not abuse your authority. Make sure you do not abuse the power that God has given you. Those children are a heritage of the Lord. Little children are a heritage of the Lord. And in the fruit of the womb is his reward. It's a reward that comes along with it. So as we are doing things, sometimes the strict parents will do things to just provoke their child to get them angry. That's not the will of the Lord. And I've seen the correction sometimes. I've seen the anger that comes out sometimes. And I probably even dealt with that myself and having to respond in the wrong way and maybe correcting too harshly and having to go back to my own children and saying, hey, I responded in the wrong way and I'm sorrowful for the way I responded. Yes, you needed the correction, but you didn't learn anything from that. You didn't get any training from that because I just caused you to become angry yourself in the way that you were dealt with. Also, there is the, in Colossians 3:21 says something similar. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. There's a difference between training and correcting and then trying to discourage your children. You say, what do you mean? That's when you do it in anger. Now, once again, these are all things found in the Bible. These are not just Brian Pease's book on how to raise a child. I'm never going to write one of those unless God tells me I have to, but I don't plan on writing one of those. And it says, look, if you provoke your children to anger, you're going to discourage them. If you don't learn how to train, if you don't know how to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you're going to be provoking them to something that is not wise. He said, well, Pastor, how do I do it? Children are hard to deal with today. Children are something. That's why we learn to walk circumspectly. That's why we don't make decisions just based off of how we were raised. And I know I jokingly said it earlier, but maybe you shouldn't compare yourself, but maybe how your brothers and sisters turned out. You think, well, what happened with them? Your parents, they're humans. They're learning. As we talk about, we have a Heavenly Father that don't have shortcomings. We have a Heavenly Father that doesn't have the baggage and the issues from their own parents. We learn what the will of the Lord is, not the will of what mom and dad is or what the will of our grandparents are. We're learning to please the Lord. And yes, we honor them, but God has given us a gift with children, and we raise them up, not based off what our friend says and based off what other people's opinions are, and it's based off of what the Word of God says. Training, nurturing, not provoking. But then he says things like this, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give thee delight unto thy soul. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Those are all things. The rod of reproof, give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. Over and over in the scriptures, there is an opinion that God has given us to look at and to consider. And even when we talked about this morning about chastening, about how the son whose father he chastens not. What good father is not going to correct his child? It's there. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. And he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And we're not going to get into a whole sermon about parenting, but I want you to understand God has a plan and he has a purpose for every area of our lives. We need to look it up. We need to learn to prove what the Bible says, what is acceptable unto the Lord. Not prove what is acceptable unto those that we look to, but instead to the Lord. And this is tough because sometimes you have to swallow your pride and say, you know what? I was living for me. I was living for the approval of my friend. because I like them and I want them to like me. I was living for the approval of my church family. If they would be pleased and everything's okay. No, we live for the approval of one. We have an audience of one that we live for, and that one is God. And if God tells us that we should teach our children diligently about the Word of God, like he does in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, and he talks about how we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, and then goes and talks about how we should teach them when they're sitting down and when they're standing up, put it on the doorpost, put it everywhere, that's his will for us. The question is, do we do it? So we need to be careful that we walk circumspectly. So as we venture out through some topics, and once again, I don't know how many there will be this summer, but some topics and look at some different things. What is God's will concerning this? And finding out what that is. And then proving whether or not we're doing it. And then continue to redeem the time. You know what? I might have messed up with my children back there. I can leave it like that and just let them keep on going. Or I can say, I have 5 more years with them at home, 10 more years with them at home, or maybe someday when you're got some young adults in here that are not married yet, they're going to have children someday, I'm going to redeem the time that I have left. I'm going to make sure I use this time. And some people are great-grandparents, some are great-great-grandparents, and some are grandparents, and some parents are the children out of the house. What am I going to do now? You tell them, hey, look, growing up, maybe I didn't do everything right. And maybe I should have trained a little bit more. Maybe not provoked you to anger and tried to discourage you and try to belittle you. Maybe I should have learned how to correct you a little bit better. But I'm going to take the time I have left to have the mind of Christ, and I'm going to walk circumspectly. I'm not going to be foolish. I'm going to redeem the time that I have from now on to try to find out what God's will is for the role that I'm at right now. Because I cannot live in the past. I can say I'm sorry for those mistakes. I can learn from them. But I'm going to reach forward to the future and say, as I reach forth, I'm going to see what the Lord's will is for my life today so I don't have to live a life of regret any time past today. So today, be not unwise. What does it mean not to be unwise? As it says here, understanding what the will of the Lord is. If you're seeking what God's will is for your life, I don't think you're going to make a mistake. It's when we start seeking out our own wills. Now, are we going to learn it? No, not day one. Or is there going to be some growing? I certainly hope so. I don't want to stay where I'm at in my Christian life forever. I want to love him more. I want to have more influence. I want to do more for him. I want to see more people saved. I want to be able to encourage and help more. I don't want to just stay where I'm at. I want to continue on becoming more and more like him. Like the Apostle Paul said, that I may know him. He knew him personally already. He wanted to know him better. And our desire is, Lord, what is your will for our lives? And he considered what's his will for our church. We need to prove what that is, and then we need to be circumspect and make sure that we're walking the right path. We don't have the wrong attitudes. We're not having the wrong, what is the Lord's will? We need to redeem the time. Maybe we've missed some time because we haven't done everything we could or that we should have. Let's redeem the time up front. How do we do that? We find out what the will of the Lord is, and we do it. So tonight, be not unwise. I don't like being called foolish. Actually, I don't really care what people call me as much. I don't like being foolish. Now, sometimes I do dumb things. And sometimes I go back and say, sorry, I shouldn't have done that. But I want to be a person who is wise. How do I get that? I seek what the will of the Lord is. And whatever that will is, I strive to do it. I encourage you tonight, ask the Lord to give you some help and encourage you as we go through some certain topics, that we will seek what the Lord's will is concerning, we'll fill in those blanks as weeks go along. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.